It's a beautiful song. You know, as Joe was singing that, I was thinking of the letters of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You know, John was well up in his 90s by the time he wrote that. You know, he'd been through so many things with the Lord. Wow, there's a lot of people here today. You guys are beautiful. God, hey Josh, how you doing, brother? Isn't it good to have the kids back in today? So kids, I want you to know that song that Joe was speaking of and singing about, how it's all about the love of God and that he loves us and we're not alone. You know, John was 90 years old and he'd been through miracles. He'd seen the working of the Holy Spirit. He'd seen great and mighty wonders in the sky. And you know what he was the most raptured up by? That God loved him. He writes in 1 John 3, he says, "See what a great love the Father has for us is that we can be called his children." He was overwhelmed. So when you guys, the longer I serve the Lord, I was saved when I was 12, and I was really raptured up in the things of God when I was 27. And I have been through every Bible study you can imagine, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and I know those things are exciting to talk about, but there is nothing more exciting in this man's life than that God would love me, a sinner just as I am. And the more that I dwell upon that, kids, the more I dwell upon that God would love me, a wretch like me, and I just can't get over it. And I never want to get over it. And I don't want you to get over it. I don't want church and what we do to become some kind of rote tradition. So we're going to talk about the love of God today and how we're going to seek him. Everybody say seek. No matter where we're at. If you have your Bibles, hold them up for the world to see. We believe in God's word and that we stand on it. We stand under it. It is the banner in which we walk under and the foundation in which we stand upon. This is what we declare about God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16. Listen, everybody, there's such a big crowd in here. They should be able to hear us in Aberdeen today. Easy if we say this loud enough. Let's make this declaration. Read with me. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. So today we're about equipping the saints. All the children. Hey, can we get some of those kids? Y'all aren't gonna be able to see very well. Can y'all migrate over here? Yeah. Can we migrate more to the middle? Yeah. So you can sit on the floor in the middle. We want you to be able to see, because we're gonna have a good time. Everybody say a good time. We're gonna have a good time in God's house today as we talk about VBS, as we welcome you in here. We pray that you're going to learn a lot as we talk about God's word. So this week, guys, you have VBS. You have Vacation Bible School, and we're going to talk about seeking God. And we're going to talk about how we seek him for who he truly is, the one true God. Everybody say true God. Wherever we're at. It doesn't matter if we're lost in the wilderness or having the best day we've ever had. We're always looking for God. And you're going to learn this week that God is great. Everybody say great. God is almighty. Everybody say almighty. God is ruler. Everybody say ruler. God is Emmanuel, which means he's with us, and that God is trustworthy. We're going to learn all those things this week, and we're going to learn it from God's word. We talk about this when you're in class at Covenant Kids. We talk about how that we turn to the Bible, the adults and you as well, because the Bible teaches us about people who went through similar circumstances, people that we can learn from. Romans 15:4 is a very important verse to us. It says in Romans 15:4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's talking to you." "So that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So everything that God wrote down through men and women, he wrote them down in the Bible so that we could have hope today. And so we're going to turn today to some characters in the Bible that we find way back in the book of Daniel, okay? And we're going to invite some people out today to come and help us. And they're going to be our actors, okay? So let's make them feel welcome as they come on out. So I want to get out of their way so you can see their loveliness, okay? And so today we're going to go through the book of Daniel. Go ahead and turn over to chapter 3, and we're going to talk about some Hebrew children. And while you're turning there, I don't hear many pages. I know they're beautiful, but I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, okay? So turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. As you're turning there, we want to talk about these Hebrew children. Now, before you stand, a crew, a tribe, if you would, of friends, of brothers in the Lord, and their names are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, these guys live in Jerusalem, okay? They live in Jerusalem, and they are friends. They know one another. They serve one another. They encourage one another. But guess what? They also seek God. They seek God in every part of their life, and they excel. They are champions for God. They do well in their studies. They do well in their worship. They are right. Everyone say right. Right with the Lord. But they had a problem. Even though they were right with the Lord and they were good friends and they were encouraging them, their leaders that were over Jerusalem were not right with God. They were not right with God, and the priest over the temple was not right with God. And they allowed the people to set up idols in the house of God. Do you think that's a good thing? To set up idols? These little statues of calves and winged men and women. Do you think that's good? No. Do you think God would be a little jealous? I do too. And God said, no, this is not going to be good. So even though they were right, their leaders were not right. And this caused a lot of trouble. But regardless, listen to me, regardless of what their leaders did and how upsetting the decisions they were and against God, these kept seeking God. Everybody say, seek God. They sought the God that was great, the God that was almighty, the God that was with them, the God that was trustworthy. They sought them everywhere they go. Okay, thank y'all very much. All right, you're going to see more of them today, okay? Can I ask you children something? Have you noticed that your parents maybe scream at the TV a little more than they ever did before? Especially since the election, they're like, what are you doing? You know, here in America, we have the blessed confidence, and we have a blessing to be able to vote for our leaders, and leaders come and leaders go. Everybody said amen, you know. They come and go, and we know because of Scripture, some leaders are a blessing and some leaders are a curse. I'd like a few more blessings in our lives, amen, right? And so what we find in America today is that we're seeking for God. Your moms and dads, they're seeking for God. They're seeking for the almighty, the great, the trustworthy God. But our leaders are taking what was and making those walls of morality fall down. And so sometimes you see your moms and dad going like, what is going on? So even while we're doing that, we need to today in the church, we need to commit to ourselves is that we're not going to falter or fall just because of our leaders falling. We want to keep seeking God. Everybody say, seek God. And so that's what we're here for. When we gather together, Covenant Kids, for example, you ever seen this logo before up here on the screen? This is what you're a part of each and every Sunday. And we say that you're rooted in faith. Children grow at New Covenant Fellowship. And we believe that. We believe that you're going to grow, that you're going to become champions. But we have to keep reminding you over and over and over, you as individuals, as young as you are, you need to seek God in every area of life. Let me read a verse to you in Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. See, we have a problem, children. We have a sin problem. Adults, we have a sin problem that has separated us from God, and we're all stand in need of a Savior. And when we find that Savior, we become a child of God. Before that, we had no hope in the world, and we were lost without God. But now that we have come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are his children. And we get frustrated with those who aren't, right? Did you know someone in your life got frustrated with you before? Before you came to Christ? Don't ever forget that. So what we need to do, instead of screaming at the TV or writing letters every week to the editors telling them how sorry this person. We need to begin to pray that the long arm of God begin to save our rulers and to turn their hearts around so that they too can share in the moral goodness of God. That's what we need to do. We need to become that type of people, realizing our need of a Savior and that God can save them too. Everybody say, seeking God, no matter where we're at or whoever is our ruler, we're going to seek God. Amen. The great, almighty ruler who is with us and trustworthy. Now, let me say this. So here they are, these four Hebrew children, Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and there's one other name, Hananiah. They were seeking God. They were friends. They were doing good things. They were right with God. But the rulers were so wicked that God said, I need to turn these people around. And he used judgment to do that. And he used a group of people. He used an army. Does anybody know who they were? Do you know what their names were? I'm gonna give you a fun name to say, okay? Everybody say Babylonian. Isn't that fun? It's just a good name to say. Everybody say it, Babylonia. Man, that's a good word to say. It just rolls off the tongue, right? The Babylonians were going to be used by God, and they were going to come in, and they were going to overthrow that government that was so against God. It was all in God's plan. If he's trustworthy, then you have to trust him and seek him no matter what. So here they come. The Babylonians, this big army, this mighty army, comes in. But these Hebrew children stay faithful to God no matter what because they had their eyes fixed on his goodness. There's a verse, can I give it to you? In Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, 2, it says that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the throne, right hand of the throne of God. That is a very important verse. While we're seeking God in the midst of all circumstances, even when things are going good or when the Babylonians are coming, someone say, ooh, that's not good. Okay, so the Babylonians were coming, and these that you met were still seeking God. Now, let me give you a couple more really fun names to say, okay? The king, yeah, that's a fun name, Babylonian. And the king over the Babylonian army, his name was Nabopolassar. Isn't that fun? Let's everybody say that, Nabopolassar. He had a son that had a fun name too. His son was the leader of the army. His son's name was Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody say that. Very good. Fun names to say, but not such nice people. Okay? And so they come in, and the Babylonians, they had a way of doing war. They were a mighty, mighty, mighty powerhouse. They were the strongest empire in the world. And they said, you know what? Instead of dispersing all the children of Israel, we're going to bring them back, and we're going to make them into Babylonians. We're going to teach them who our gods are, and we're going to let them worship the way we worship. And so what they did was they chose the very best, and they took them back to Babylon. Now, who remembers the names of the four Hebrew children? There were Daniel, there were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, these were Hebrew names. Names in Hebrew mean something. In other words, if you have a name, everybody on three, say what your name is real loud, okay? So the people in the back can hear you on three, okay? Just say your name to the top of your lungs. One, two, three. It's beautiful. They all heard. Look, I got people up there. They're taking notes right now. They know what your name is. Okay? And so your name is important. But in Hebrew, it was really important. Daniel, for example, his name means God is my judge. In other words, everything he did, he realized that God was watching. And he wanted to do things right. Hananiah is Yahweh is gracious. Mishael, his name is who is what God is. In other words, who is like my God? That's what his name meant. Azariah is Yahweh is my helper. But when they move to Babylon, guess what? The first thing they do, they change their names. They try to make them into Babylonians. In Daniel's example, they gave him a fun name, Belteshazzar. Can everybody say that? Belteshazzar. And that means Baal protect his life. Now, Baal is the worship of the evil one. And so they're asking now, don't worship God who is your judge. Let Baal, the enemy, protect your life. See, they were trying to make him. Hananiah was named Shadrach, command of Aku. Now, I know some of this is maybe a little much for you, but I want you to understand. They were trying to make them into something. They were giving them new names. Everybody say a label. They were putting a label on them. And so Meshach is who what Aku is. And Abednego was the name of Azariah. And he's the servant of Nebo, who is the second highest god in Babylon. They were trying to make them into Babylonians. Can I tell you something about the world and people who aren't maybe believing God? They're also going to try to make you into something that you were not created to be. Isn't that what sin does, adults? I should get amen out of that. Amen. That's what sin does. It tries to make us into something that we're not. Everybody repeat after me. I am a child of God. I just here today, I need to remind you of that. You are a child of God. You are more than what you think you are. Everybody say, I am made in His image. Everybody say this. He says that He loves me. He says that He loves me. Don't ever forget that. No matter if you're in a foreign land, no matter if you're moving away, no matter if life is changing, remember who you are. You are a child of God. He is great, almighty. He's the ruler. He's trustworthy, and He is with you. Because the world wants to make you into something different. In Romans 12, 2, and this is the verse for our senior highs, for our against the flow student ministries from 6th through 12th grade. See, you're going to graduate into 6th grade one day, and we want you to be a part of against the flow. It says in against the flow, our verse is Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means we don't want to be what the world says we are. We want to live out what God says we are. In Matthew chapter 7, the adults just studied this in the book of Nehemiah. In Matthew 7, Jesus tells us a story about a house. And we want you to build houses that are built upon God and not upon the world. It says in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and the slammed against that house, it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears the words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and great was its fall. We want you to be able to stand. We want you to be able to seek God no matter if the armies of Babylon are coming, or if you're having the best day you've ever had, or if you're moving to another city, or whatever it may be. We want you to seek God. Everybody say, seek God. Now, I'm going to ask one of our main characters to come out. I'm going to ask Nebuchadnezzar to come on stage. Everybody say, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, once they got back to Babylon, now the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, Belshazzar, were now living in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make them into Babylonians. And he gave them positions in his government. Because they were very smart, they were very talented, and he wanted to make them be servants of his. We're going to turn to Daniel chapter 3, and now we're going to really get into the crux of the story. We're going to talk about what Nebuchadnezzar did, and I'm going to ask you a few things about Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was pretty full of himself, okay? He thought he was a big deal, all right? Yeah. And so here's the deal. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height which was 60 cubits at width and 60 cubits high and 6 cubits. In other words, can you imagine? This building at the very top is 34 feet, okay? This statue was 90 feet. It was 3 times higher than this roof. And it was 9 feet wide. So it was really tall and not very wide, okay? And it looked ridiculous. And he built this thing out in the desert. And it was probably covered in gold because Babylon was very, very wealthy. And this thing would shine all over. So he built this statue. He built this totem pole, if you would, that looked ridiculous. Why do you think he did that? Why do you think? Here's what he says. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Why do you think he did that? He's brought all of his servants out, all right? Because he thought he was a big deal. And what he wanted them was he wanted to say, I want you to worship what I tell you to worship. I want you to bow down when I say bow down. I want you to serve me no matter what. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. Can I tell you something, kids? Just like Nebuchadnezzar, people you meet, they'll do almost anything to have control over you. They'll offer you things as you grow up. Adults, am I right or wrong? They'll say things to you like, if you love me, you'll do this. If you really thought about me, you wouldn't do that. They'll try to manipulate your lives in all kind of ways. But as long as we seek the one true God and we compare what they're asking us to do to the one true God, that he's good and he's mighty and he's the ruler, he's with us and he's trustworthy, then you'll be able to stay on that right path and you'll be able to seek him no matter what. Let's continue on with the story. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king who thought a lot of himself, why don't you just pace around a little bit. Yeah, he's a big deal, okay? Everybody point up here and say, he's a big deal. He's a big deal, you know? Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble all the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces. Okay, I'm only going to read that once. From now on, we're going to say the government, okay? We're not going to read all those names. Everybody say the government. He brought all of his governing officials in, and he said, I want you to come for the dedication. Let's see. To come to the dedication of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And then all the government assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood before it. And then the herald came out and he loudly proclaimed, to you, all the government, all the servants of Nebuchadnezzar. That's a fun name too, though. Nehemiah is pretty fun. Nebuchadnezzar. To you, the command is given, O people, nations, and every language. Go ahead and just point at everybody. There you go. At the moment you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the lyre and the trigon and the psaltery and the bagpipe and all kinds of music, you immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. I told you it's going to get interesting in here. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the music, and all kinds of peoples and nations and men of every language fell down, and they worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you got to picture the scene. Let's get a little bit of fire and smoke going on over here, and there we go. So we have fire, and someone say the struggle is real. They're making a big threat. Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't fall down and worship that big old ugly statue, I'm going to throw you in that furnace. You better do what I say, and you better be who I say you are. The threats were made. The struggle was real. And at the sound of this music, everybody was supposed to fall down and worship the idol. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to imitate this. These instruments that are listed here, it would have made a terrible sound. I mean, it would have been it wouldn't have been a concert. It would have been a concert of just noise. Have you got a special noise that aggravates your brother or sister or your mom? You do, don't you? I do too. I've got one that my sister could not stand years ago, and I still remember it. Parents, you probably got a sound that your spouse doesn't like very much. I'm going to give you the freedom. Everybody say freedom. I'm going to give you the freedom to make the most aggravating, bothersome noise that you can possibly make right now, okay? Within limits.
This is dangerous.
It's dangerous. She said it was dangerous. So I'm going to count to three, and I want you to make that sound, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Okay. Two of them passed out. So they made that sound, not that sound, but a sound. And everybody fell down on the ground to worship the idol. Because no one was seeking the one true God, the ruler, the almighty, the providential king, the trustworthy one. Let's continue our story. For this reason, at that time, so everybody else is on the ground worshiping this idol. That's sort of silly, isn't it? a shiny idol. The Chaldeans, who were also the Babylonians, came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, all the music. Let's make that sound one more time. One, two, three. Good. That's good. They fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace. Everybody say, oh no. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed, O king, named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage, stomp your foot. She was... There you go, okay. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, one more time, stomp your foot again. Very good. Gave orders, bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the music, if you'll fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you don't, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And then the king says, and what God is there that can deliver you from me? Everybody, once again, say the struggle is real. Here's a very in-your-face thing. Guys, I'm going to give you a second chance. If you'll just fall down and worship, then all this will be forgotten, and you won't be thrown into the fiery furnace. Let's get a little bit of smoke and fire going on, because this is a real deal. This is a real fire, and there you go. Whoa. Okay. And so what are they going to do? What are they going to do? So once again, we're going to make that terrible sound on three, and we're going to see if they bow or not. Okay. One, two, three. Good. Let's keep reading. Let's read some more. Chapter 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody listen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they played the music, they did not bow, okay? And they replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom you serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to bow down or serve your golden image that you have set up before us. Now, it's getting real right now. Here they are. They're in a foreign land. Their moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles are not with them anymore. Everybody's looking at them saying, just come on and do it. Come on and do it. If you'll just bow down, then you'll live. And you'll be exalted, and the king will love you, and you'll make him right, and he'll feel good about himself because he's a big deal. Just do what the king is asking. And yet they did what? They stood firm because they were seeking the one true God no matter what. And get this, even if they died, they would still serve God. Can you say that? Adults, can you say that? How often do we bow to the pressures of life? How often do our children see us bow to the pressures of life? How often do we subdue these young ones to the pressures that are put on our lives? And we bow to idols, we bow to money, we bow to possessions, we bow to it every day. I say we start seeking God and standing firm. How about you? And being more like these Hebrew children. Do you think Nebuchadnezzar was happy with their decision? No, not at all. Not at all. He said, what God can deliver you? He thought he was such a big deal. Get this, everybody. He thought he was such a big deal that there was no God greater than him. You know, sometimes we get that way, don't we? We think we're the biggest deal in the room. We think that no one's greater. Let me tell you what, when you get older, you find out there's a lot of people greater than you are. in lots of situations. You know what the Lord likes for us to be? Is have a pure and contrite heart. Does anybody know what that means? Does anybody know what humble means? To allow to become less as others become more. That's what Christ did, isn't it? He became less so that we could become more. He wants us to be more Christ-like. Let's continue reading. In verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar, filled with wrath, and his facial expression, I like this one because we're going to get her on this one. And his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There you go. Make your worst face. That's right. He was angry. He answered with the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them in the furnace. And these men were tied up with their trousers, their coats, their caps, and other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the blazing eternal fire. Everybody say, oh no! For this reason, because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those who pushed them in. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Do you think Nebuchadnezzar felt sad about that? No. Nebuchadnezzar put his chest out. He said, now I've won. Now those who oppose me are dead. Now I reign supreme. Listen, guys, trials come our way every day. Do we look for God no matter where we're at? I believe in my heart that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going into that fiery furnace. We look at it as death. They looked at it as, where is God? You know, something else about Nebuchadnezzar, I bet he thought that he had won the battle. When I was writing my sermon and thinking about this and thinking about you guys, I thought of another situation where I think the enemy thought he won, but he really lost the day. You remember the story of Jesus? When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and all the guards, they arrested him and they beat him, and the next day they hung him on a cross and he died. I believe Satan thought that he had won the day. How about you? I believe that he thought he had won every battle, that all of his worries were over. But then the one true king, the one who is mighty, and he's the king over life and death, the one who is trustworthy, who is great and almighty. On that third day when Jesus came from the grave because of the power of God, guess what? Satan, his destiny was sealed and he had lost the war. Even though Nebuchadnezzar had thought he had won this battle, it's not the end of the story. Do we look for him everywhere we go? Do we seek him in everything we do? Now look what happens. Nebuchadnezzar's prancing around like a peacock, thinking that he had won the battle. He thought that everything was okay and that all things were going to go well and that he had won the day. And then in verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was looking into the fire. Yep, peeking in there. He said to his high officials, hey guys, wasn't it three men that we cast and bound into the midst of the fires? And they replied to the king, oh yes, king, it was three. And he said, look, I see four men loosed and walking in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the sons of the gods. The world is going to ask you, why can you overcome a situation, or why can you endure this hardship? They're asking you, there is no God that can deliver you. But guess what, everybody? We know a God that can deliver us, right? We know a God, whether we live or where we die, we're going to win, right? We're going to win. Things are going to go well for us. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they went into the flames, seeking and searching for God. Whether he delivers us or even if he does not, we will never deny him, for he is good. He is my portion and my prize. I love Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. It says, whom have I had? Whom have I in heaven but you, O God? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. The psalmist had said that this God whom he seeks each and every day of his life is his greatest reward. I believe for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was their greatest reward. And so now Nebuchadnezzar stands back and he says, what is going on? There's four and they are living. Look at verse 20, 27. The satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, or had the smell of fire come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants, and who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, yielded up their bodies so as to serve them. And they called them out of the fire. Y'all, come out of the fire. Everybody say, come on out of the fire. So here they come, celebrating what the Lord has done. Here's what I love about this, and I just want to remind you, children, is that sometimes God may put out the fire, but most times he's going to go in it with you, okay? Most times he doesn't put the fire out. He wants to see if we will go in there for him and seeking him, the one true God, the great, almighty, all-powerful, all-trustworthy God. He wants to see if we're looking for him. This world is not our home. Even unto death, we can win. Sometimes God puts out the fire, but sometimes he gives us peace in the midst of it. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3, it's a beautiful verse. I hope you'll cling to this in your life. Thus says the Lord, O creator of Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the fire and through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He was the fourth man in the fire, and he delivered them. The great, almighty ruler who is with us and trustworthy answered their prayers and came to their rescue. Now, all the people that were there, all of the ones who had bowed to this ridiculous idol, were astonished and amazed. But I also feel like they had a little bit of regret for bowing to such a ridiculous request. Can I tell you something, kids? When the world asks you to do something that is against who you are and you follow through with it, there's going to be guilt and shame in your life. Ask your moms and dads. Ask the adults. Ask your grandparents. Continue to seek the Lord no matter what they're trying to ask you to do. And they were amazed at these three. Do you know what amazed them the most? Their faith. If you want to make a difference in life, have a strong faith in God. If you want to make a difference in your schools, have a strong faith in God. If you want to make a difference on your sports team or in the band or whatever you may be, have a strong faith in God. People stand amazed when we have strong faith. Hey, let's make them feel like they did something great today. Don't take a bow. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask the band to come on back. Thank you guys very much. You did a great job. I don't even smell any smoke or anything on you. Good job. I'm going to ask Joe to come back, and they're going to sing one final song. We're going to release you kids in just a moment, but I wanted to ask you a few things. I want to go back through this sermon just a minute and ask you a few questions, if you would. Just everybody take a deep breath and just give me your attention for just a few more minutes. Do any one of you children, or do any of you adults here, do you feel like at times that the world is trying to label you, to say you're this or to say you're that? Don't listen to what the world says. God knows you. He knows you by name. If you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a child of God, but you have to know him first. Let me ask another question. Is anyone here, children, adults, is anyone here moving to a new place? See, these Hebrew children were taken to a foreign country. They were taught a foreign language. They had to go to places that they had never been before. And some of you may be moving soon. You may be going to a new school. Some of you may be going to college or off to a new duty station or whatever it may be. Will you commit to serve God and to seek Him no matter where you're at in life? Does anyone feel pressured to serve something or someone other than the one true God? Does anyone feel like they have are in a raging fire? And maybe your attention is turned everywhere else but unto the Lord. Are you seeking God in the fire on the good days and the not so good days? Does anyone want to make a difference in life? Do any of you guys want to make a difference in somebody's life? To make someone smile or to help someone have a better life? To be significant in life? I have found that it's not wealth, money. Those aren't the things that make us significant. The thing that makes us significant is that our faith in Christ makes us do things that the rest of the world would never consider doing. So I pray that your faith would rise and become more and more and more. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Kids, y'all can stand up now. All the adults. The most important thing, I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes now as you stand reverently before the Lord. As we stand, as if He's in here with us. He's in this place with us. I just want to ask you a question. Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith? Do you seek Him regularly? See, because this is an individual question. I know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had one another to make each other strong. But do you as an individual, no matter your age, do you seek God? I know we can all seek Him in better ways, but do you know Him? Is He your Savior? Does He live in your heart? Do you know Him? Have you invited Him in? It says in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and answer." So has the Lord been knocking on your door? Has He been asking to come into your heart? Has He challenged you with an invitation to come in? Today can be that day. Today can be the day where your life can be a life of faith, a life that knows that whether we live or we die, we will have God. He is our portion. He's our prize. He is good and holy and mighty, and He is trustworthy. Lord, we come to You this morning, Father, with our eyes closed and our hearts and our minds dwelling on You. And Lord, we're all in different areas of life, God. Some are in the valley and some are on the mountaintop. But Lord, I pray that over this house now, that a commitment to serve You and You alone would just sort of penetrate our hearts and our minds. I pray, God, that we would be solely focused on You. No matter, God, if the fire is raging or the river is about to overwhelm us, Lord, may we always seek You. May we always be reaching out for You. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone in the house, God, as many are here today, we're not going to fool ourselves thinking that every person here is a child of God. If anyone here, God, is seeking You, I pray, Lord, that today they will find You. I pray, Lord, that they would realize that their life is separated from You, not because You're a bad God, but because of their bad sin. And that sin has caused that separation between us and God. But Lord, You have bridged that gap in the person of Jesus Christ. By Him dying on a cross, Lord, You have allowed us to come into relationship with You. And in Jesus and Him alone, God, can we find You. But once we find You, Lord, we are Yours and Yours forever. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone here, God, has questions about their eternal security or their eternal purpose or why they've even been born, I pray, Lord, that they would be able to come today and discover that one great and almighty and powerful and ruling and trustworthy God. I pray, Lord, that You would enter their heart today. So, Lord, as we sing this song, I pray, God, that a holy conviction would come over our hearts. That You would expose, Lord, areas that we're not seeking You. And, Lord, You would help those who don't know You to come to You. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we're going to sing this.